The Guardian. From providing cancer-fighting drugs to smelling like decaying flesh, plants have an amazing and diverse set of talents.
For me, I find them fascinating are the carnivorous plants, so like the Sarracenias, the Venus flytraps as well, that, you know, plants that have evolved to eat insects and mice and rats and bats and all sorts. I think that's fascinating.
And plants support our lives in every way today, from sequestering carbon from the atmosphere to providing us with the food we eat. We couldn't live without them. But do we owe some thanks for the diversity of plants we see around us to the dinosaurs?
So there's been various ideas about how dinosaurs might have shaped plant evolution. And we know that dinosaurs and plants did interact, because dinosaurs, herbivorous dinosaurs, ate plants.
I'm Nicola Davis. This is Science Weekly. This week, we come to you from the RHS Hampton Court Palace Flower Show. Hello, I'm Nicola. Nice to meet you.
Hello, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Gemma. Hi.
Nice to meet you. I've come here to meet Guy and Gemma, who are going to set the scene for what the world was like when the first plants started to emerge.
Hello, my name's Guy Barter. I rejoice in the title of Chief Horticulturist, and I'm here at the Royal Horticultural Society Flower Show at Hampton Court Palace.
Hi, I'm Gemma Lake. I'm the RHS Hampton Court Palace Flower Show Manager, and I oversee all the content here at the show. So we have lots of nurseries who are selling plants. We've got beautiful gardens that have been designed by designers showing all sorts of different themes and take-home ideas. We talk about growing vegetables. We talk about community gardening. We talk about wildlife gardening. So really, we try and bring in as much different things as possible for people to be inspired by.
Gemma, give me a feel for how big the show is. It feels enormous just standing here in the middle of it all.
Yes, it is actually the world's largest annual flower show, which is quite a claim to fame. We're sitting on 34 acres of content, so it's huge. We get through 6 days of show and we have around 135,000 visitors coming. So that's a huge amount of people coming, and not just from around London, from across the country and even internationally.
So, Gemma, just talk me through where we are at the show right now. We're outside something that looks rather like an enormous blob-shaped building. Just tell me what's inside, what's this all about?
So we're here at the Evolution Dome. Inside and around the outside, we're taking a journey through from the beginning of plant life time right through to modern day and exploring how plants have evolved over millions and millions of years.
Well, perhaps you better get going. And Guy, you can start by talking us through what the earliest plants, what even we mean by a plant, what was the very first thing that we might even have thought was a plant? When did that first appear?
Well, that's a really difficult question to answer, because first of all, there were loads of bacteria and similar organisms, and they are the very first, perhaps, plants that evolved. Lots of algae, similar sort of things.
We can't really call those plants, though, can we?
I think you're quite right. One would not normally call algae and bacteria or even cyanobacteria plants, but they became more and more complex as time went by, so I guess the definition could be a little blurred.
These photosynthetic bacteria popped up about 3.4 billion years ago. The type of photosynthesis they performed, however, was a little different from that we're taught at school. Instead of absorbing visible light and producing oxygen, these early bacteria absorbed near-infrared light and produced sulfur. It's only 2.7 billion years ago that you get the oxygen-producing types like cyanobacteria. And then a billion years after that, you get algae. This change from sulfur-producing organisms to oxygen-producing ones changed the Earth dramatically. So at the outset,
the atmosphere was mostly composed of carbon dioxide, so if we'd turned up there, we'd have suffocated quite quickly. But of course, in photosynthesis, plants use light to turn the carbon dioxide and with water into plant materials, into carbohydrates, and then on into proteins and things that make up life. And incredibly, The covering of green on the planet took that carbon dioxide-rich atmosphere and converted it to oxygen, and eventually it reached the kind of levels of oxygen that we have now. So we could, if we turned up there through some time machine, then we would have been able to survive and gaze in wonder at the amazing forests that were forming.
Fantastic. Right, let's go inside and take a look. You talked there about plants changing the planet. We've gone from these sort of algae, cyanobacteria, to quite complex looking plants here. Can you talk me through a bit about that step? So what happened in between?
But first of all, plants began to get more and more complex. They began to have been things like mosses and algae, and they gradually turned into primitive plants that we can barely recognise today. Lots of ferns, of course. They're highly dependent on their environment. They don't have the ability to control their own internal water relations, so they're very prone to drying out. Therefore, they're very restricted to perhaps the sides of rivers, coastal areas. Once you get onto marshes, for example, the great forest of tree ferns must have sprung up. You can see those in coal measures and things today. So there must have been competition for light, which drove the evolution of plants to get bigger and greener, a better leaf area, and developing a 3D structure. So they kind of shade out their neighbours in the competition for light and space.
When would that have been in terms of how many millions of years ago? And what did the first trees look like?
Well, now it begins to get interesting from a horticultural point of view. About 417 to 354 million years ago, trees began to develop. These were conifers for the most part.
And so talk me through what was special about trees.
They've got clever things, have plants, and this started around this time. They've got a cuticle, which is the waxy covering on plants that stops the water escaping, so they can actually manage their water inside. So if you can manage your water, so to speak, you can start moving away from marshes into hillsides, into dry areas, possibly even begin to start edging into deserts. Then the other thing they've got is stomata. And a stomata, if you remember your biology lessons, are a kind of valve on the leaf surface that lets air in and out. You've got to let the air in to get the carbon dioxide to photosynthesize. And plants are brilliantly adapted to control their stomata so they don't dry out on a lovely hot sunny day like this. And then you've got conductive tissue, and indeed roots, to take water from the soil and draw it up through the plant. You're no longer dependent on rainfall, you're no longer dependent on surface water. You can colonise areas where the water might be quite deep in the underlying rocks, and plants begin to get tall. Basically, they become trees. And finally, within the leaves themselves, there's air spaces, so that the air containing carbon dioxide can move through the leaf to where the chlorophyll is, and the plants can actually photosynthesise. So you're beginning to get things that are recognisably modern plants.
And so we go from tree ferns, which mainly existed in sort of marshy areas, to trees that can live almost anywhere.
That sums it up very well. Once you start getting all those wonderful innovations that make up what we know as a plant, suddenly the world is your oyster, as it were, and you start getting a wide variation of things like conifers and interesting plants like cycads, of which we've got a lot here in the dome, and also ginkgos. So you've basically got plants that can survive a very wide range of conditions.
So yes, here we are, surrounded by these tree ferns, and it's quite a dense patch of these plants. And for anyone that hasn't seen a tree fern or can't quite picture one, they're really interesting looking plants. They don't have a trunk like you'd imagine a tree to have. It looks more like a kind of gnarly base. It almost looks like shoots that have broken up or dried up on the side. And at the top, you've got these shoots that have come out the top, the new growth. It's sort of like an umbrella-like array of fronds. They almost look like someone who's had a short back and sides. So it's a very dense array of vegetation.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the RHS Hampton Court Palace Flower Show, supported by Viking Cruises.
In the next section of the dome, we enter the Triassic and Jurassic eras. a period known for its T-Rex, Stegosaurus, and Velociraptors. In popular culture, plants take a back seat, providing the setting in which these beasts romped around. But we can't understand dinosaurs without understanding their environment. And plants played an important role, especially since they were the food source for herbivores. As dinosaurs became more established, a number of traits evolved in plants. We see pine cones, seeds encased in these woody prongs. Why spend extra energy to make a casing? Some suggest it might be a sort of arms race with the dinosaurs to avoid being eaten. The other major development was flowers, as I found out when I turned a corner in the dome.
And we've just come through the dome and round the corner, and there's suddenly this enormous burst of colour. It seems that we have entered the period of the flowering plants. We've got orchids hanging here, bright pink. We've got lily-like plants going on. There's a magnolia tree up there. Talk me through when flowering plants first came onto the scene.
So about 150 million years ago, the first flowering plants, or called angiosperms, began appearing. Here in the dome at Hampton Court Palace Flower Show, there is lots of evergreen magnolias. We think these are one of the first.
So during the era of the dinosaurs, we see plants blossom. They looked a little bit like magnolias, as Guy pointed out, and evolved 140 million years ago. Today, flowering plants account for 9 out of every 10 plants. That means they far outnumber the once dominant seed plants like conifers and tree ferns. But why did they evolve to have flowers? Could the dinosaurs have had something to do with it? This is something I know Dr. Paul Kenrick has been researching at the Natural History Museum in London, and I believe he can help shed light on the matter. We'll be back in a moment after this.
My name is Sigrun. I live in Reykjavik, Iceland. I read The Guardian every morning. I realized that this is something that I would like to pay for. It's a service I value. It's journalism I respect. The Guardian brings me the quality I like. So I realized, hey, this is something I should be a part of.
Hello, my name is Brian and I live in Norwich. I decided to become a supporter of The Guardian newspaper because I like the quality of its journalism. And I also felt it was time to make a stand because I'm getting tired of the journalism I'm seeing in other newspapers that are owned by rich owners, where there is a lot of bias into their editorials. I hope this inspires some of you to become supporters too, and in your own small way, make a stand.
Hi, my name is Wesley. I live in Utrecht in the Netherlands, and I've recently decided to become a Guardian supporter because it's, well, one of the few news sources that I feel is still delivering accurate news. You know, it feels like I can trust The Guardian. For me, that's, I think, the most important thing, and especially when they said we don't want to do too much advertisements and we don't want to become dependent upon other people that can manipulate the news. I felt that it was good to support our democracy.
If, like Sigrun, Wesley and Brian, you would like to join the growing number of readers who support our independent journalism, then go to gu.com/support/podcast.
Welcome back to Science Weekly. I'm Nicola Davis. Today, we ventured out from the studio in a quest to understand whether dinosaurs played a role in plant evolution. We began our journey at RHS Hampton Court Palace Flower Show, where Gemma and Guy outlined how plants evolved since the first plants emerged on land around 470 million years ago. Then, as dinosaurs arrived, another series of changes came about, and eventually, flowering plants emerged. But were dinosaurs involved in this development? And if so, how? Dr. Paul Kenrick has been researching just this at the Natural History Museum, and I'm hoping he'll be able to shed some light on the issue.
Hello. Thank you so much.
I'm Dr. Paul Kenrick. I'm a research scientist at the Natural History Museum in London.
So let's talk about the dinosaurs. This is everyone's favourite part of prehistory. We see dinosaurs or the precursors to dinosaurs cropping up in the Triassic. And then, of course, dinosaurs become these very dominant species in the Jurassic. So can you just talk me through a little bit what was happening at that time, what the planet would have looked like, what kind of environments we were talking about that plants would have been existing in, and the animals too?
So in the Triassic period, the Earth looked very different to the Earth that we are familiar with today. So for example, most of the continents were grouped in one big continent called Pangaea, which had a huge effect on the climate and also the distributions of organisms. In terms of forest ecosystems, there would have been forest ecosystems there, but these would have been quite different to in composition to the ones that we're familiar with today. So for example, when the dinosaurs first evolved, there were no flowering plants. And flowering plants we're all familiar with, but also includes groups such as grasses. So grasses weren't part of that ecosystem either. And fulfilling those ecological roles, the herbaceous ground flora would have been ferns. So ferns would have been very much more important in those ecosystems than they are today.
Do we know exactly what dinosaurs were eating? Do we have any idea of what sort of menu they had and what they were picking from that menu?
There are several ways that you can figure out what dinosaurs were eating. You can look at the gut contents, what's preserved in their stomachs. There's not a huge amount of information on that, but there's a little. You can learn about what they were eating by looking at their fecal pellets, the coprolites, the things that they produce. Other things you can do is you can look at their dentition. You can look at the way their jaws are structured. That tells you a fair amount too. And also simply at the form of the body.
So, Paul, one of the ways that we know about the diversity of dinosaurs is, of course, fossils. Everyone loves to hear about new fossils that have been unearthed. How do we know what sort of plants were around during these different periods of prehistory? And what can the fossil record tell us?
The fossil record of plants is hugely informative. So there's an absolutely enormous fossil record of plants going back a very long way indeed. And there's several sources of information. So there's the information from the pollen, which is the spores that are produced by the flower. Those are widely dispersed, produced in large quantities, often diagnostic. So you can actually learn a lot about the evolution of the group just by looking at its pollen record. But better than that, we actually have the body fossil remains of the plants themselves. And like in the modern day, these are often shed as bits. So oftentimes you have a fossil of a leaf, and you might have a fossil of a flower or a fossil of a stem. So one of the tasks of paleobotanists is actually to try and piece together those individual components to form a conceptual whole organism. And that's one of the trickiest parts of our job. Okay, we're going to go into the collections area.
So like we're behind the scenes here, the bowels of the museum.
Down in the collections area, Paul had a couple of fossils he wanted to show us.
Wow.
We got three things here that tell us a little story about vegetation during the Jurassic period. So these are fossils that come from the Yorkshire Jurassic and also from the south coast of England. One of them is a sort of large football-shaped block of rock.
It looks a bit like a sort of a big sponge or sort of just a big ball of dough, but rock.
These come out of the just above where they quarry the Portland stone. In quarries on the south coast, and there you have a fossil forest, and in that fossil forest you have fossil plants and fossil tree trunks. This is actually a small fossil tree trunk with a sort of round ball-like shape. It looks the miners when they or the quarry people when they dug these things out of the ground, sometimes they would think that they were large fossil bird's nests, because it does look kind of like a big bird's nest, or fossilized beehives, because it has this sort of these holes in the surface that run all the way around. Now these holes are actually where you had leaves coming off the trunk. So the leaves would have been like this one here, which is a sort of herringbone, large herringbone or feather-shaped leaf. So if you're familiar with modern cycads, something like Cycas revoluta, the overall shape of this plant and its habit would have looked like a small trunk of a modern cycad.
And what we have here, so we've got this big round type of fossil here with this sort of pitted surface, as Paul said. And then we've also got another fossil, which has got a very beautiful, you can see a very beautiful leaf on it, sort of very long and sort of tapering towards the end with these sharp looking fronds along it. And then, so these two went together then, Paul?
That's right. So what you've got here is you've got the trunk and you've got the sort of leaf that would have gone with the trunk, and often these things are found separately, but sometimes they're found together. Now, these would have been some of the most important small shrubs in late Jurassic forests where the dinosaurs roamed, and we think we have good evidence that dinosaurs, small herbivorous dinosaurs, fed on leaves of this plant. And part of that evidence comes from fossils like this here. Any idea what these are?
It sort of looks rather like a slice of, well, Christmas cake or something. It looks like there are very small, squashed things in it. But I'm going to take a hazard a guess that you wouldn't have wanted to have eaten that.
You're right. You wouldn't have wanted to have eaten that. They look like little kind of squashed grapes. But in fact, they're fossilized faecal pellets, or coprolites, as we would call them. Judging by the size of them, you can see they're sort of rabbit-sized, I think. So probably the organism that produced that would have probably been about the size of a large hare or rabbit. We think that that these would have been produced by a small dinosaur.
So what we're looking at here, Paul, is what we think is fossilised dinosaur poo. So how can we tell from those pellets, those rather squash-looking remains, what on earth it was eating?
Well, if you look at the squashed remains here, you'll see small dark patches of coal on the surface. If you take those off and dissolve them up in acids, what pops out is the cuticle of the plants that the animal was eating. So the waxy cuticle actually goes through undigested. So you can say that the organism ate that particular plant with a high degree of certainty.
So if you can work out which dinosaurs ate what plants, and then look at what traits evolved when and where, you can begin to piece together the interplay between these beasts and plant evolution. In the past, some have argued that dinosaurs were so important in the evolution of the flower that these beasts practically invented them. This is what the paleontologist Robert Bakker wrote in a paper in the journal Nature back in 1978.
So there's been various ideas about how dinosaurs might have shaped plant evolution. And we know that dinosaurs and plants did interact, because dinosaurs, herbivorous dinosaurs, ate plants. So that was a very important part of the ecosystem. There have been various ideas about how dinosaurs have interacted with plants. One idea is that a change in feeding level from the Jurassic period into the Cretaceous period. So during that period of time, an important group of dinosaurs takes a real hit, and these are the sauropod dinosaurs, the ones with the long neck. They don't go extinct, but their diversity becomes much lower. And at that time, you have a browsing, sort of low-level browsing dinosaurs that become much more diverse. So one idea is that they really impacted on the low-level vegetation and created a sort of environment that favoured the evolution of flowering plants. The earliest flowering plants, like I said, were small shrubby things, but there was also a diversity of weedy forms. So these had very, very fast life cycles, much faster than the sort of life cycles you'd find in some of the larger gymnosperm type of trees. So the idea is that this disturbance in the environment created by the dinosaurs feeding on the plants actually favoured the flowering plants over their relatives in the gymnosperms.
So dinosaurs are the reason I have a beautiful bouquet in my living room. Is that what you're saying, Paul?
I wish I was, because I don't actually believe that that's true. So I think that while the theory about dinosaurs interacting with plants to kind of favour angiosperm sort of environments is a good idea, and there's actually not a great deal of evidence to hold that up, to stand it up, when you look at the data behind it. So other factors in the environment may have been equally important. So, for example, we know that in these early Cretaceous systems, when this was happening, fire, wildfire, was much more important in the environment than it is today. And we know that because you see large amount of charcoal preserved in sediments. So we know that fire was more important. And fire is also a really important force in shaping ecosystems today. So fire in the environment creates disturbance too.
One of the other questions here, we've talked a bit about whether dinosaurs influenced the evolution of plants, but what did plants in any way impact on the evolution of dinosaurs? Could it have gone the other way, in that the changing diversity, the changing availability of certain plants might have steered dinosaurs one way or the other in terms of offering them different things available? They might have to have adapted in order to be able to consume those plants.
Well, herbivores and their fodder, their food sources, co-evolve. So things may change in the plants, but also the animals have to adapt to the plants themselves. And dinosaurs kind of take different approaches in different major groups. So one of the things we're familiar with today with mammals is with browsing or grazing mammals, there's an extreme alteration of their dentition, their teeth, and the way that they process their food. And a lot of that food processing is done in the mouth. There's a whole group of dinosaurs that does similar sorts of things. But then there's another group, the sauropods with the long neck, that did very little actual food processing in the mouth. Basically, their teeth were like a comb that kind of ripped particles of food, of leaves and seeds and so forth, off the trees, and then they were just swallowed whole. And that processing of the food actually went on inside the guts, and they had a very, very long gut and a long retention time of food inside their guts, so they were able to process the food within the stomach rather than within the mouth.
And finally, why is it important to look back at the history of plants? Often we just sort of take them for granted around us, and yet we rely on them so much. But why is it important to look back in time and understand the journey that they have been on?
It's important because today we're trying to understand, for example, how the plant genome works, how you go from a genome to an organism. And part of that story is written in the fossil record, so that helps us interpret the plant genome today. It's also vitally important because plants have a huge influence on the Earth system itself through the carbon cycle, production of oxygen, and so forth, the weathering effects, the production of soils. These have huge, huge influences over periods of 10, 15, 20 million years. So to understand how the world can be habitable over a very long period of time, one needs to understand the story of plants.
A sentiment echoed by both Guy and Gemma back at the RHS Hampton Court Palace Flower Show.
I think another thing that is going to be really interesting for visitors is not only seeing where plants have come from, but potentially where they're going to go. We're hopefully going to be around for quite a while longer, so it's interesting to think what might come next.
But I think it's interesting of itself, and we can understand why plants are as they are. And as Emma very rightly pointed out, it points the way to the future, where with climate change we can expect the conditions that plants have to face to change rather more quickly. And we can see from the past what plants have done to survive a changing climate and what they'll have to do to survive a changing future, and what we'll need them to do if we're to survive as well.
So after all that, it seems that dinosaurs might have had some impact on plants, and that plants likely had some impact on dinosaurs too. But perhaps even more important than that, this journey has shown me how surprising and intriguing the evolution of plants is, how the twists and turns in their journey through time is every bit as intriguing as that of those big beasts, the dinosaurs that we all know and love. A huge thank you to Paul, Guy and Gemma, as well as the Natural History Museum and RHS Hampton Court Palace Flower Show for letting us record on site. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can. The email address is scienceweekly@theguardian.com, or you can tweet us at Guardian Audio. I'm Nicola Davis, and this is Science Weekly.
Great podcasts from The Guardian. Just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.